But I don't know. Maybe I will. We'll see. But I really want to make an application to everything we've learned in the last 5 weeks. And boy, it's great to see Ralph praying in service tonight. Praise the Lord. Been praying for him every week, haven't we? And answer to our prayers. So praise the Lord. I want you to also pray as you're getting these sheets. I want us to make it a matter of prayer. The city of Easton, and I believe that's the Lord's leading in that direction as far as church planning. And let's begin praying about that. And we're going to start periodically setting up some times to go down and just do a little bit of soul winning there. And some has already been done just to kind of test the ground a little bit, do some plowing. And I believe you have to plow a little bit of the field and cultivate the soil before you plant the seed sometimes, if you know what I mean. But we are planting seed down there every time we go. But the point is we can go down and knock on some doors periodically and do that. So be ready to hear some times that we'll be setting up for that. But more so than anything, let's pray for that city. I've talked to several preachers around and folks that are not far from that area. And not one that's independent Baptist that I know of, or that the people I talk to know of, knows of anybody that is solid doing a work in Easton right now. And there's a lot of people there. And God has commanded us to reproduce ourselves. And it's not just about our Jerusalem, although it is about our Jerusalem. It's about more than that. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. I hope you are, too. And I hope you're not, you know... God leads us to places where we have to exercise faith. And you say, how are we going to do it? I don't know. Well, how are we going to? I don't know. God knows, right? And he'll lead us. And he may bring us up to the Red Sea where we're looking at it and we're looking behind us and here come the chariots. And we just stop and we stand still and we see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And God can take any of us that yield ourselves to him and use us for his glory. And he could take Capital Baptist Church and use us in greater ways than we ever imagined. And so we just have to listen to him. So let's make that a matter of prayer tonight as well on our prayer list. Hebrews chapter 5, familiar passage tonight, beginning of verse 11. In a sense, it's jumping in the middle of a statement here, but I'm going to do it anyway for time's sake. But I'll read down to verse 14. The Bible says, of whom? That's speaking of Melchizedek in verse 10. In other words, he mentions a name of a man that we dealt with when I talked about Abram at the time, when he met Melchizedek. And there was much to say about Melchizedek and these Hebrew Christians here. He wanted to say some things to them about him. But notice what he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you for the good group that came tonight. And Lord, thank you for the subject that we've been looking at for several weeks, many weeks now, the subject of music. And we know it's important to you. And I pray we would make it important in our lives. Please help me tonight to say the things that you'd have me to say. I believe you've led me in this direction tonight. And I pray that you would take your word and the principles we're going to discuss tonight and listen to tonight. And Lord, may it be more than just a matter of fact. May it become a part of our lives. Give us understanding by your Spirit. Fill me, guide me, direct me. And may Christ Jesus be honored and glorified through it all. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now tonight we're going to conclude this subject here of music. And it's been a series that I pray that has been a big help to you. I know it's been a big help to me, just going over some things again, refreshing my mind and memory on some things that that are biblical. And certainly I did not cover many things that could have been covered. We could have spent a very, very long time on this subject, but I trust that we have learned enough enough biblical principles that pertain to music and have heard enough examples and wrong examples and right examples that we would at least be able to identify, at least partially, right and wrong music. We've talked about so many things, and I'm not going to go through them all, but just as a matter of remembrance, we talked about God's music and man's music, how God produces music and man produces music. Of course, man produces music through natural means and through unnatural means. We talk about songs and the importance of songs, how they're made up of lyrics, which are the words, and how the words ought to be biblical and match to Scripture. We also talk about the music underneath that, the vehicle for the lyrics, and how that ought to be right. It ought to contain natural rhythms and not unnatural rhythms. Those rhythms ought to follow God's principles and God's character of order, orderliness and order. We learned about backbeats, and I hope you understand what a backbeat is. We learned about breakbeats. We talked about wrong syncopation and all those things. And if you don't know what I'm talking about at all, then get the CDs, okay? And listen to them, because I believe that they're going to help you. But let me just say this as part of a principle. If you are in doubt of any piece of music, if there's something that's out there and you're listening to it and something seems wrong in your mind and you can't quite pick it out, but you say, you know, something doesn't sound right there and it goes against your spirit, here's a good principle that is a Bible principle. Don't listen to it. It's that simple. Just turn it off. Just skip that track, whatever it is you have to do. Just don't listen. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Certainly it does. Listen to Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. Listen closely to this statement. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if there's anything, and this goes across the board for anything in your life, if there's anything that brings doubt in your life, hey, don't do it. That's easy, isn't it? Isn't it better, we've heard it, isn't it better to be safe than sorry? Wouldn't your conscience feel much better if you didn't do it than if you did do it and you were doubting and you felt guilty about the thing? That's the principle. You see, one piece of music is not that important to really compromise or jeopardize our spiritual well-being, is it? If it's something that we're listening to, we know it's not good for our soul and our spirit. It's not promoting spirituality in our lives, then we ought not to listen to it. Now tonight, I'd like for us to look at a principle found in this verse, this text that I read this evening in Hebrews, and I'd like to make an application to music. Now, notice what's happening in this passage here tonight in these four verses. You see, these Hebrew Christians have been saved a long time. Notice verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers. In other words, they've been saved long enough, they knew Christ long enough, they heard enough truth that they ought to be teaching others the things that they knew. But notice they were not teachers. Instead, something else was happening. Verse 12 in the middle, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He's saying here, instead of you being teachers now, people have to go back and teach you again. We got to go back to the drawing board. We got to lay this whole thing out again about the first principles of the oracles of God. I don't know about you, but have you ever dealt with a backslidden person? Sometimes you got to go back and remind them that they're saved, remind them that they're eternally secure, and all those first principles that they need to know. And that's exactly what was happening here. Notice they could not handle the meat of the Word of God, but only milk. Milk speaking of those simple truths that we give to babes in Christ, you know, the simple doctrines of the Bible, the basics of the Christian life. But all of us ought to move away from that and move on to the meat of the Word of God. There's deeper things. There's more things that God has for you to learn. We never stop growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. At least we're not supposed to until we meet the Lord. Notice the reason for this that we find in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what the problem was? They were unskillful in the word of God. Unskillful. They didn't know how to handle it, which caused them to be unable to discern between good and evil. They couldn't tell the difference between right and wrong. They couldn't pick it out, which is discerning, which is good, and which is evil. What a sad place to be in life. I wish none of us would be there, but I'm sure many are. So tonight I'd like to preach a message, and you have the handout tonight. You see the title. It's entitled this, Discerning Both Good and Evil. Do you know that God wants His children to be a discerning people? We are to be able to discern. And I think one of the things that lacks today more than anything else is discernment amongst God's people. Cannot discern between right and wrong. What does it mean to discern? To discern means to separate by understanding. In other words, to be able to look at a situation and separate the right and the wrong. To understand, to see the difference between two things. To be able to see where something is going to lead. That's what discernment is. In other words, you see the little devil before it becomes a big devil. You identify where something is going and why it's wrong. That's what discernment is. It is making a judicial estimation is what it is. Now, in relation to music, how that pertains to music, it's simple, of course. This would mean that you ought to be able to separate right music from wrong music. And there is right music and there is wrong music, amen? I hope by week six we understand that. We ought to be able to see the difference between right music and wrong music. Be able to see where listening to wrong music will lead us in our Christian life. Why we ought not to do it. Well, nobody's going to go to hell for listening to the wrong music. You're right. No one will go to hell. I'll tell you what. You won't have victory in your life. You will not. You will have problems being filled with the Spirit of God. Because you listen to something on maybe 1, 2, 3 hours a week, and then you pump in your head for the rest of the week in your automobile and in your homes, things that just go against that new nature. Who do you think is going to win? The old man. Why is it, though, why is it that some people will hear the biblical principles, they will go home, and they will get rid of the things they ought to get rid of. Like, again, we're talking about music. And so they get rid of some music, or they'd change some music, or they'd stop listening to certain things. While yet there are others that just nod their heads, and they just leave here, and they keep right on listening to whatever it is they want to listen to, regardless of what is right and wrong. I'll tell you what the problem is. Discernment. Discernment. Now, I hope tonight we're going to see why this can happen. How can we become an undiscerning people? Well, let's look at this. First of all, number one, I want us to notice, first of all, the errors. The errors. Now, this is kind of a go-get-em type message about music to help us understand and take everything we learned and put it into practice. You know that there are some things in life for all of us that are easily discernible as being right or wrong. I should say fairly easy for most of us. Of course, that's getting worse and worse, but at least it should be for the Christian. In other words, if I were to ask, let's have a show of hands, how many people think murder is right? Okay, how many? Go ahead and raise your hand. Good, all right, wonderful. Now, good, we got that. I mean, we could list some things, stealing and those. I mean, even most lost people understand that those things are wrong. We understand that lying's wrong. I hope we understand tonight that drinking alcohol is wrong. And I hope that's easy for every Christian. But there's some other things that we find that aren't quite as easy to discern. Now, certainly we understand that God gave us the Bible for several reasons. First of all, so that we'd know how to be saved. And that's why He gave us the Word of God, so that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I hope tonight you know Him as your Savior. But even beyond that, really most of the Bible was written to believers, the New Testament. And it's given to us so that you and I would be throughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, everything we need to know about life and decisions in our lives, we ought to go to the Bible to get the answer. It's in there. Oh, it's in there. Everything. And so in order to discern right and wrong, it will become necessary for you and me to glean and apply scriptural truths in order to arrive to a scriptural conclusion. And by the way, this applies to music as well. You know, there are the thou shalt nots in the Bible, and that makes it easy. But there's other things that are principles in the Bible, that we compare Scripture with Scripture, and we put those principles together, and we ought to get to a proper place where we can discern what's right and wrong about music. Now, why don't people discern? Well, here you go. Three reasons why people do not discern, particularly about music. Here's the first one. Number one is because we have become slothful. I'll just put it in a little bit easier terms. We're lazy bums. Lazy. Do you know in these last days, Christians have grown lazy in our pursuit of biblical knowledge and wisdom? We've become lazy. I mean, we've grown lazy in our Bible study. We've grown lazy in our prayer life. We've grown lazy with our time with God. I mean, we think it's a big old deal when we have five-minute devotions every day. Well, you know, the Bible says we ought to do a lot more than that. And this is just a sign of the days that we're living in. Preachers of old and Christians of old, Christian businessmen of old, they were people of the Word. I mean, they knew the Bible. They spoke Bible language. They knew the stories of the Bible. They knew the principles of the Bible. And what we've done is we've taken our time and we've given our time and our energies to so many other things that really do not matter in light of eternity. Now, by the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight as well, because there's so many things that clamor for our attention today. These so-called time-saving devices have done nothing more than stolen our time. They've clogged up our time. There's so many things to do. We can't even sit still anymore. We can't even open up a book anymore. I mean, if I were to ask, when was the last time that, how many have read through the Bible? When was the last time you read a commentary, read a spiritual book? I'd be afraid to ask for hands, because we become lazy. And as a result of this slothfulness and this laziness, we have not developed the spiritual muscle that is necessary to discern what's right and what's wrong. Oh, we get the thou shalt nots. Again, those are easy. But we don't understand how to compare Scripture with Scripture. You see, we live in a day of instant gratification. That's what we want. We want it now. We've been raised up in this generation. Right now, we want it. I mean, we want it. And instead of applying God's principles of hard work and study and patience and stick-to-itness, we want the fast track. I just saw it today as I was looking over this message. I saw something today, a book called The 1 Minute Bible. The 1 Minute Bible. I'm sure that sells a lot, because you know why? That appeals to everybody. Today it does. Oh, give it to me fast. 1 minute, boy, I can know the Bible in a minute. Boy, I'll take that. You see, we want instant everything. We want instant knowledge without having to read. We want it without having to study. People want instant wealth without having to work hard, without having to work long, without having to sweat, without having to be tired. But we want instant wealth. We want instant possessions, everything, but we don't want to sacrifice. Preachers, we want instant sermons without study and prayer, but we want a good sermon. We want instant weight loss, you know, we think without exercising and watch what we eat. I mean, we want a pill, or we want surgery, we want something, you know, we want it right now. Forget that hard work. That's not how it works, folks. That's not God's principles. You see, wisdom that comes from God is not instant. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. Proverbs chapter 2. You see, most Christians will agree. Now listen closely here, because I'm afraid through this series that I may have, and it just is a natural thing, we may be thinking two separate things, and I'll show you what I mean in a moment. What I mean by this is that most Christians do not want to take the time and study and search the Bible and apply biblical principles, comparing Scripture with Scripture, to test things like contemporary Christian music. Most Christians can say, oh, I don't listen to that rock. No, I don't listen to that, you know, thumpity, thumpity, thump. I don't listen to that. I don't listen to the rap, you know. And we understand that, but I think sometimes we miss that same type of music is in that contemporary Christian music. That same type of music is in a lot of Southern gospel music. Hello, I better duck on that one. It's true, though. That same type of music is in much of that favorite music that your favorite preacher sings, or that he listens to, or that he has in his church. It's all over. Many, many independent fundamental Baptist churches are embracing these unnatural rhythms. And it's all throughout the independent Baptist churches that we know of today. By the way, it's in many of your favorite Bible colleges, too. It's there. It's there. And we excuse it away sometimes. Well, you know, I love this preacher, and I love some of those preachers, too. I do. They're very dear and kind. But I would not have a music group here. Did somebody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Do you want us to do that? Do you want us to have that stuff up here and you know, the hee-haw music and all that? And I'm not talking about a Southern style. I'm talking about unnatural rhythms there. And I'm talking about they're playing that. That's not what we want. It's not helping us. But I like it, preacher. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure we do. That's the problem. Our flesh likes it. Our flesh likes it. And we excuse it away, saying things like, well, you know, I love the Lord and they love the Lord. So what difference does it make? Oh, it makes a difference. Notice Proverbs chapter 2. What I'm saying here is take the principles of God's word and apply it across the board to everybody. Not just to the rock and roll crowd. I'm talking about to every piece of music that you hear. Apply it to and say that's right or that's wrong, regardless of the source. Amen? Good. Notice Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive... Now notice the effort here of getting to a right position on things. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You see, there's no quick fix there, is there? Notice all the things he says. Receive his word. Let me ask, you know, I'm convicted just reading that right here. I'm telling you, I'm convicted. Just saying, am I receiving his words? Am I hiding his commandments? Am I inclining my ear to wisdom? Am I applying my heart to understanding? Am I crying after knowledge? Well, I like knowledge. But am I crying after it? And liftest up thy voice for understanding. I can't think of the last time I prayed for understanding. I have, but it has been the last couple of days. And I think, wow, I don't do that. Are you seeking God's wisdom as silver? If I said somebody dropped five $100 bills in this auditorium and they said they didn't want it, anybody gets it, it's yours. All right? Go ahead. Man, I'll tell you what, we'd be looking, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd be turning things inside out, wouldn't we? We'd be seeking after it. You know, when we want something bad, we seek it, don't we? I mean, we find time to seek it. You guys know that automobile you've been looking at or that little toy you've been looking at, you know? You go and you look and you price and you check it out and you seek and you look over here. You know why? Because you want it. And when we want wisdom, we will do the very same thing. All the ifs, he says, if you do it. Then, verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Wow. There it is. There it is. You see, one of the reasons we don't discern is because we don't care enough about it yet, you know? We don't seek it. We're slothful, and we should be seeking it. Here's the second one. Here's the second reason why we don't discern. Not only is because we're slothful, secondly, because we're scared. You say, scared? I'm not scared. How about this? We're scared of what others might think, right? You know the music that a Christian listens to, both in our churches and in our homes and in our vehicles, it's supposed to be pleasing to the Lord. No matter where. Not just here, not just on this platform. I'm talking about when we amen and we shake hands, we chat in the hallway for whatever, half hour or so, and we get in our cars, and you put that on, whatever it is you're putting on, that whatever is coming out of there ought to be pleasing to the Lord. When you go home and you click on some internet site or you turn some radio on, I hope that the things that are coming out, or you're looking for things that are pleasing to the Lord. By the way, there's only two stations I know of that you can find anything. That's 96.1 and 89.9. And then that's it. We don't listen to anything else, and you shouldn't listen to anything else either, as far as radio is concerned, if it's music. You see, all of that, we have the idea, well, this is sacred, and that's secular, and you know, that's my life out there. I'm not worshiping out there, so why can't I listen to what I want to? Oh, no, that's a dangerous philosophy. The Bible says that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of it. Titus 2:7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. A pattern of good works. We ought to be the pattern as believers. Let's say, for example, let me give you an example here. Let's say you're at home listening to music that contains those unnatural rhythms. Maybe you're washing your car and your doors are open, or maybe it's coming out of your house, or maybe you're in the house, and your neighbor stops by. As he's approaching, what is the first thing that he hears? You know what it is? It's the music. It's the music. You see, and the music itself that he listens to, he will identify. He's thinking, you know what? I listen to that stuff too. Because he's lost, and he listens to that. What does that tell him? Does that tell him that your life is different than his? Or does it tell him that your life is the same as his? The same. Oh, yes, the same. Now, let's put it the other way. What if you're listening to good stuff? What if you're listening to good music with straightforward rhythms and your neighbor stops by? You know what he's going to see? He's going to perceive you as being different. Why? Because it is different. It's not what the world's listening to. This was such a timely, someone forwarded me an email from one of our persons that's over there overseas deployed. What a timely email this was. I'm not aware that this person has any idea what we're going through Wednesday night. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I wanted to read it to you, and I don't think this is going to hurt anything as far as getting anybody upset. But it says this. Listen, on a side note, this is somebody that's deployed in the Air Force here overseas. I had an interesting conversation Wednesday with a coworker who is a self-professing atheist. He was playing piano for the praise team, an atheist. Playing piano for the praise team at the modern, quote, modern praise and worship services, but told me that he would do so no longer for two reasons. A, he didn't like the praise music, and B, he had to sit through the whole service. He went on to say that if they would use only hymns, he would be willing to continue playing and attending the service. He noted that the music was too secular sounding and not very worshipful. You know, I know some independent Baptists that don't believe that. Here's a lost man, an atheist, who says, that just doesn't sound like God to me. It sounds like the world. Went on to say this, I found it very interesting that simply the type of music could deter him from church. And it goes on to thanking us and Brother Holding for the stand of music that we have here at Capital Baptist Church. You see, in truth, We don't discern, because many times, you know what it is? We're afraid of looking different. We all have that in us. Well, what are they going to think of me, you know? What are they going to think if I dress different? What are they going to think if, you know, they're going to do it? You know, we all like to fit in. That's the natural thing, but it's not the Christian thing. The Christian thing is to obey the Word of God. God has called us to be different. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Second reason we don't discern is because we're scared. Here's the third one. Ready? Third one is because we're sensual. Uh-oh. It's awful quiet here tonight, Brother Holman. Am I being mean? No. Now watch this. We're sensual. Here's what I'm trying to say. And again, I grew up listening to junk. Okay? I was a lost man. I grew up in a lost home, not a Christian home. I mean, I could name you all the groups, you know, I could, of the 70s. Do you know what I mean? You may not know what I mean. But what I'm saying is that maybe you do know what I mean. Maybe too much. But my point is that we have been in America just bombarded with music. And understand something. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So yes, when we get saved, we have the new nature, a new song and all that, but we still have that old nature. And remember, when secular rock became popular, in America I'm talking about the 40s or 50s, for a time when that became popularized, churches pretty much stayed on the right track with their music. But as time progressed and all of this music became all of a part of our society, our defenses were slowly eroded. I mean, think about it. Music is everywhere you go. I used to work in Hardee's, and they used to have the Muzak in there, which was elevator music, we called it. And it was a little, because that's all they would have. And it was a little violin playing, that sort of thing. And I'll tell you what, we were in Hardee's probably about a year ago or so down south, and we couldn't even hear when we went in there because the music, it was rock and roll music that was just so loud. 99% of the time today you go into a restaurant, if you're a Christian, you have the urge to say, I need to go talk to somebody about this music. How many know what I'm talking about? I hope you do. I mean, it's just blaring and blaring because it's become a part of people's lives. You go in homes to visit them, the television blaring. I mean, it's like you think, if you're not used to that, you go in there going, how can these people hear? How can they think? How can people work? I mean, this constant thing, but it's become a part of our lives. I mean, it's hard to escape. You go to the store, it's there. You go to a restaurant, it's there. You go to your favorite, some sort of sports event, it's there. It's all about the music. Everywhere we go, it's there. And the problem is that we have become so accustomed to those beats and those sounds and those unnatural rhythms that we just receive them. I mean, what's the big deal, preacher? We hear it all the time. I know we do, but it's wrong. It's wrong. You see, what we've done is we've allowed our standards to be lowered. And we accept those types of rhythms, and we'll call it something else. I mean, some people have the idea when they call it it's an old-fashioned church with an old-fashioned meeting we're going to have. For some reason, that has been equated to, we're going to play some jamming country songs here and sing Jesus' words to it. How many know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, well, I guess you don't. But I do. Anyway, what I'm saying is that this is how sensual we've become. Because it's all around us that many times we are not discerning. There's another reason, I won't give it to you here, but maybe because somebody's lost, they can't discern it, right? Somebody's not even saved. You can't discern it if you're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of God telling you that's wrong if you're not saved. And many of these artists, by the way, these CCM artists, and I'm not going to point fingers at them, but based on their theology, and the words and the phrases they use about salvation, I'm not sure if they are saved, many of them. Give your life to the Lord, those types of things, Make a commitment to Jesus. What in the world does that mean? What happened to you? Repentance, and you're on your way to hell, and you're a wicked sinner, and you violated the law of God, and you're condemned already. And you need a Savior, or else you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the gospel, you see. They're not saved, some of them. Perhaps that's why. The errors of lack of discernment. Number two, quickly, we're going to move here. I want to show you, secondly, the excuses. The excuses. Now, here's what happens. When you hear principles about music, and I hear principles about music, by the way, if there's anybody that has an excuse to embrace it, I would be right pretty close up in line. Because I played in a rock band for years. I played in clubs, okay? I played in Battle of the Bands. I mean, I could name all kinds of songs. I mean, songs go on if I'm in Kmart. I mean, I could just about play them air guitar, the thing, Because I played them, I'm just saying that if anybody has an excuse that I like it, it could have been me, you see? But thank God for His grace. Thank God for His cleansing of the mind. Praise the Lord, amen. Man, there's enough junk up there. You blow in this ear, dust comes out the other ear. But we're not discerning sometimes. Why? But when we don't get it, you know what we do? We make excuses. You know, when truth goes out and you're taught the things about music, there's two ways you can respond. You can either receive it and act upon it, or you can just listen to it and nod your head and make excuses. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the excuses that we make. You see, the world and the CCM bunch, oh, they have all the answers. They have all the things they say, and they're all the same types of phrases. I'm going to give them to you in a moment because we're on the back of the sheet. I'm going to show them to you. Now, remember, man is fairly reasonable and rational except when our personal beliefs are challenged. Then we become irrational when we act upon our emotions. You can tell when someone's acting upon their emotions because they become irrational. The scriptures are out to the side. That's why I don't like it, and on you go. And what happens is music appeals to our emotions, and so many people approach the subject of music not by scripture or logic, but by their emotions. And so they make emotional statements. And so what we need to do is set aside your emotions for a moment. Don't think of, well, you know, I guess I can't listen to this person. I really like this person. You know, and I like it. Forget the I like it. Okay, and let's look at scripture for a moment and allow the word of God to declare what's right and wrong. Now, here's just a few excuses. I got eight of them. I'm going to go real quick, so don't get nervous about that. We're not going to be here that long. But I want us to look at a few excuses that you're going to hear or perhaps you may even use concerning music. Here's the first one. Number one, here's one thing that many say. The first thing, everyone has his own opinion on music. Everybody has their own opinion on music, you know? That's funny, isn't it? But everything else in life, you know, we have a standard in the Bible. Oh, but not music. That's delegated to opinion. That's in the category of opinion. Now, certainly God has created us all as individuals, and yes, we have different likes and dislikes. Some like chocolate ice cream, some like vanilla, some like certain music and so forth. But just like salvation, right, everybody can't be right on everything, right? And so to continue to listen to music that is essentially the same as the music that we listened to before we were saved, it's not really saying much about this new creature we are. It's not really saying much about this new song that we have, because the only thing that has been changed is the lyrics. That's it. The music's the same. And that's really so we can justify listening to the same type of music. That's what it is. Is we like the beat, and so what they do is they change it, and they say, well, you know what, everybody has their own opinion. You just don't like that kind of music. No, it's not opinion. It's right and wrong. Ask yourself, does this music I'm listening to help me walk in the Spirit? And so that's one thing you'll have to answer. Second one, write this down. Here's another thing they'll say. The only way to reach this generation for Christ is by using music they'll listen to. You know what I believe? I'm up here so I can say it. Amen. I believe one of the reasons that many of these denominational churches got away, you know, all of a sudden, I forget how many years ago, even when I was lost, I saw this thing. What is this contemporary and traditional? What is that? I remember it was just church, and all of a sudden I saw these signs out in front of buildings, contemporary and traditional. I said, what does that mean? And somebody said, well, you know, that one's for the young people, one's for the old people. You know, that's the answer I got. And I said, oh, okay, well, all right, whatever. But you know what I think has happened is that denominational churches, many of them, have gotten away from the gospel. They've gotten away from preaching the word of God. And I believe lazy preachers get away from preaching the word of God. And so what happens when you're not preaching the Bible, when the pulpit's not on fire, guess what? The place gets dead. And so people are looking for something, and you know what's going to happen when the place is dead? Hey, he's going to remove that candlestick, right? And people will not come because there's no fire in the pulpit. And so they have to manufacture some strange fire. Let's do it by music. Boy, we'll attract them in with music and we'll justify our existence because, look, we have people out there. And they think the only way to reach them now is, hey, how about preaching? How about standing up leather-lunged and giving out the word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord. You'd be surprised how many young people love preaching. I'm telling you, they sit and listen, and they're excited about it. And when someone gets up here and gives them guidance and says, thus saith the Lord, and gives them truth, spirit-filled, that's piercing the heart, well, stir anybody. Man, I love preaching. But they'll say, well, look, you know that when you attract people to a church service by using the world's music, that is very deceptive. It's very deceptive because it's saying, hey, look, we're a lot like you are. We're like you, just like you. See, the purpose of the church is not to attract the lost. Sorry, it's not. It is not. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You should come to service. And again, we're thankful for anybody who gets saved into service. And yes, we ought to give them opportunities to be saved. But the primary purpose of a church service is so the saints get edified, they get charged up, and they go out of here with a fistful of tracts and the gospel on their lips, and they give it out to a lost and dying world. That's what it's about right there. It's not, well, what do you think we can do to get some lost people in here? What do you think? Huh? What do you all think? What do you think? Huh? It's not like that, I don't know. Hey, preach the word. Get your people fired up and get them out there knocking on doors. Amen. Number three, here's the third thing. And I'm not going to get through these eight, so I'll just read them through when I get to the end. Here's one. God can use this music for his good. People are getting saved. People are getting saved. Well, I'm glad people get saved. I am. I'm not mocking that people are getting saved. I'm mocking that statement. Because God can use anything, anytime, anywhere he wants to draw people to himself. He's used death to get people saved. He's used tragedies. He's used accidents. He's used sinful events for people to get saved. He uses anything. But that does not give Christians the freedom to violate his principles so that people get saved. No. God's work, God's way. Jeremiah 10:2 says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. He says, don't learn the ways of the heathen. Don't do it their way. Do it my way. And anytime we go against his way, I believe we're taking away from the results, not adding to the results. Number four, quickly, here's another one. Oh, those people are sincere. How can you be so hard on them? They're sincere. They're sincere. They're sincere. I'm telling you, you should see the stuff I get in the mail for these youth things. I mean, guys or girls, I don't know what they are, with hair down to here, earrings in their ear. I mean, I know because I was in that stuff. And they say, come to the Christian concert. And you're like, what? Come to the Christian concert? Well, they're sincere. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? They may be sincere. But that's right. They're sincerely wrong, though, aren't they? You know, I know some Muslims that are sincere. Does that make them right? No. I know some Jehovah's Witnesses that go around just a lot knocking on doors, sincerely knocking on doors. They're not right. I know some Roman Catholics sincere. Doesn't make them right. A good motive does not make a bad action right. Does not. Those people are sincere. Number five, quickly. Oh, I got 2 minutes to do three of them. I don't think I'm going to do it. Here's one. I can't hear anything wrong with it. I can't hear anything wrong. It's funny, when I was playing some of these things up and I'm trying to show you the backbeat, you know, and all that, and I'm saying, you see it, you see it, and I see some people going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see some other people going. I don't hear it. I don't hear it. You know why possibly, I'm not saying it, you know why possibly? Again, we've been so desensitized to it. We hear it every day. We hear it in the store. We hear it everywhere we go. And by the way, just because a person can't hear or discern the rhythms that are wrong doesn't mean they're not there. Doesn't mean they're not there. And if we cannot discern, that doesn't excuse us from evaluating our music according to God's standards. You better practice and figure out how to figure it out. Amen. Dig in the Bible. Number six, quickly. Here's the next one. Our services would be dead without upbeat music. Dead, yeah, they'd be dead. I remember hearing in a church, Independent Baptist Church, where the music standard had dropped. And I was there when some of the change had happened. And some people walked out of that auditorium saying, finally, our services have life. And I thought, that is unbelievable. Finally, our services have life. Oh, yeah, we got the lively music. Oh, yeah. No, it's not lively. It's carnal. It's wrong. It's wrong. You see, music doesn't have to be dull and lifeless to be spiritual. It doesn't. You see, it's not our efforts that make the church services alive. There's another person. His name's the Holy Spirit. And he does that. Man, I'm telling you, when we had, I think it was last year, Jubilee, every Jubilee, when we start singing those songs and the place is packed out and people are excited about the things of God and it feels like the roof's going to come off this place, man, I'm telling you, talk about life. Talk about excitement. Well, that wasn't manufactured by man. That's the Spirit of God. That is Spirit-filled, joyful Christians singing unto the Lord with all their heart. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, that's real lively, let me tell you. Let me tell you. You see, if the church is filled with Spirit-filled Christians singing from their hearts, we will have Spirit-filled services, and they'll be lively. Two more, quickly. Number seven. Here's one to you here. Martin Luther said his hymns to the tunes of his day. Martin Luther said his songs to the tunes of his day. Well, you know what? That's a lame excuse and a half-truth. Because they may have, and they did, borrow from popular folk songs of the day, but the music they used was not wrong music. They weren't using music with backbeats. They weren't using music with wrong syncopation. They weren't using rock and roll music, amen, of the day. I told you before that there is non-carnal, non-spiritual music. Folk songs, Sound of Music, things like that. That's okay and good music. It's not spiritual, but there's not wrong music. Put spiritual words to it. Certainly you could use that and have a spiritual song. And that's the type of thing they did. They always used acceptable music. And then the last one, number eight, we're done. I did get through it. Here's one you get. Oh, I feel closer to God when I listen to that music. I feel closer to God. Well, you know what? We should all want to feel closer to God. But let me ask you something. What is the primary thing? Our experience or worshiping God? Think of that. Is it what I feel? Is that what makes it? Or is it me worshiping God? You see, John 4:24 says, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You see, it is God whom we worship. Therefore, it is God whom we should please. We should please him. Why not to try and feel good in the service? Now, if that comes as we hear the preaching of the Word of God and we enjoy the singing, that's a byproduct of it. It's not the purpose of it. What's pleasing to God? Carnal music or non-carnal? Certainly non-carnal. You see, these are all excuses that can be addressed from the Word of God. And write this word down, number three, and we're done here. The exhortation. And that just brings us full course back to Hebrews chapter 5. Let me ask you something in this subject of music. Are you willing to discern between good and evil? Are you willing to take what you've learned over 6 weeks and do something with it? You want victory? Maybe this area of life is the area that you need the help in, the change in, so you get the victory. Maybe you'd be happier if you listened to the right kind of music. You know, a good way, by the way, if you're struggling with this I can't hear it type thing, try this, okay? Try listening to nothing but good, solid music for a month. Nothing else. Or listen to nothing. But I would say listen to good song. And you know what you're going to find out after a month, let's say a month or 2 months, when you go back and hear, you'll be like, whoa, I hear it. There it is, you know, there it is. You will be able to discern between good and evil. The problem is we just keep feeding ourselves and feeding ourselves with it and saying, I like it. I don't see the difference. I like what I like. Let's ask God to help us to be discerning in this area of music. I want victory in my life. I do. I watched as I played the guitar in front of people. We used to put songs in order to manipulate the emotions of the people. That's what we did. We sat and planned that. We need to start off like this. And then after about three or four, we need to bring it down a little bit. And then we'll crank back up at the end. You know what we did? We were toying with people's emotions. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I knew that that's the way we were supposed to do it. We were toying, and we watched people respond to the music we were playing. Music affects us. And everything, even if it's in a church, if it's wrong music, it's wrong music. Let's avoid that. And let's get what's best for our spirit for God. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this evening. And pray that you'd bless what we've learned. I pray that we would please evaluate our music, that we would discern between good and evil. Take your word in this area of music and really put things to the test. Lord, may we have the right spirit about it and be kind. Compassionate to others that may not know, but may we in our own personal lives and personal decisions do everything we can to have the right kind of music in our lives. Spiritual music, Christ-honoring music, spiritual songs that would help us in our walk with you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why don't you get that taken care of tonight? You can know tonight that you're on your way to heaven. In a moment, we're going to have the pianist play and give you an opportunity to come. And if you don't know that Christ is your Savior, you come to this altar. You just stand there. I'll make sure we get someone to take a Bible and show you how to be saved.